Hello, everybody. It's really lovely to welcome you all here. Thank you very much for coming. So it really is a great pleasure to welcome you all here. I'm really glad to see you here because these events are actually the most exciting, I think, of the festival, because this is where the new talent is discovered. People that read here as winners of the Ledbury Poetry Competition very often are coming back as T.S. Eliot and Forward Prize winners and completely take over the poetry world subsequently. So it's really a moment to see exciting new talent. My name's Chloe Garner. I'm the director of Ledbury Poetry Festival. And it's my pleasure to introduce the first part of our event today. So it's an event in two halves, really. The first half is a bit of a snapshot over the last sort of two previous years, 2020 and 2021, winners of the competition, because if you remember, there was such a thing as COVID, which meant that we weren't really doing online in-person events, and our winners at that time were only performed online and to an online audience. Having said that, the competition now is so international that, in fact, when we invited them to come in person, they were based in America and Korea. And so actually, we have ended up with a hybrid event in any case. But anyway, so I hope you enjoy what really is a kind of snapshot over 3 years of competitions, Ledbury Poetry Competitions, but delightfully with our actual 2022 winners here in person. So I'm going to first just say that the deadline for the 2023 Ledbury Poetry Competition is on Monday, 10th of July. The judge this year is Philip Gross, and he'll be reading all the poems that are submitted. So if you haven't put your poem in to that competition, the time is now. And the prize is an Arvon course, because we run the competition in partnership with Arvon, and a purse of £1,000, so really worth doing. I must say that we get over, well, for the 2022 competition, we got over 1,300 entries. So it's a real task in some ways to read those poems, but I think it is really great that we are a competition where the judge does read every single poem. So I'm now going to introduce our first online reader, and so I'm very glad to welcome Claire Isabella Haywood. Claire was the second prize winner in 2021 when the competition was judged by Anthony Anaxaguru. She's a poet and writer from the New England area of United States, and she currently lives in Seoul in South Korea, where she works as an English language teacher. And she tells me that she first fell in love with poetry when her parents read her poems such as Kubla Khan and the Raven as unconventional bedtime stories, which I really love. So let's welcome Claire Isabella Haywood.
Hi, everybody. I hope you can hear me. It's nice to meet everybody. As was said, I am coming from you from South Korea, and I'm here to read my poem, Business Investments in Groundwater Go Belly Up. Many years ago, during that long, sad summer, my father taught me how to dock canoes. As I recall, he was lonely from the waist up back then, and tall as trees. I would stand lakeside by the water's edge, hoping to ladle the moon into my hands like cool soup and carry it back to the cabins. Melancholy, I imagined, like all rivers would someday make it to the sea. Today, I approach the world with a strange kind of quiet. I pronounce every word like a query, as if coaxing a stray cat into a warm meal. I want you to eat well, and nothing in return. When it rains for the first time since I last thought of my mother, I stand on the porch with my hands on my hips and remark, "We needed this," 4 hours before it ends. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. I'd now like to welcome Catherine Bratt Fottenhauer, who was third prize winner in 2021, again judged by Anthony Anaxagoru. Catherine's work has been published in many journals and she has won various prizes. And they are at work on their first collection, which interrogates the father figure and the concept of fatherland. Thank you, Catherine.
Hi, everybody. Coming to you from Philadelphia in the United States. It's so good to be here. And I'll be reading my poem, The Crucible, which is after the poets Despi Boutrous and Caleb Ray Kindrilly. And it begins with an epigraph by the poet Gabrielle Bates. So this is The Crucible. I know his regrets. I could list them. Gabrielle Bates. In this dream, you have your legs again. Your legs debloat. Your legs debloat, no stroke. No left side, gone dead. Your dead side doesn't knock the door. The door, like the body, has an exit. Your exiting body I have watched for years. You turned on your spine like a lamb on a spit, and like a lamb you bleated mournfully. You mourned yourself. You cut out other people's obituaries. Your obituary I have written since I turned 14. Every day and again, again, your grave dirt heavy in my mouth, I hum a blue dirge, your dirge. Baby, you'll miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone, I hope I stay gone. Dead and dusted, no flowers crowding the plot with their long, crowding petals. I guess you pray and hope someone listens. And someone is always listening. Their ears pressed to the wall, the wallowing sound, the sound as red as the hand that I have held so often. So often the room was the fluorescent glare of a hospital. An IV poked a hole in your arm, a hole the size of God, to squeeze through. There was no God in the hospital. In the hospital, the catheter was God. I watched you almost die. Your lungs clotting in clusters, a traffic jam with no way out. I wrote you a poem, but poems were not what you wanted. I don't know what you wanted, except that you wanted to die. In the quiet, you wheezed, kill me, and something in me was killed. I was so like you. Like you, I waited for my blood to betray me. I dressed myself for the funeral. At the funeral, everyone was laughing, dressed in white. There wasn't any room for singing. No one sings in the dream. Their mouths fill with smoke, smoke wafting up the corridor of sky in the night. I hear your feet falling on the landing, your shuffle and bump. I creep to the door through which I sense you falter and listen, your legs unstable, the dream over. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine. And then I'd like to welcome Jess Moraine, who was the 2021 first prize winner, judged by Anthony Anaxagoru. And Jess is also an actress, and so she got a job today. She was going to come in person. So she has sent us a film, which we're going to show you shortly. But just to introduce, Jess is a queer poet of dual British Caribbean heritage, working mainly in live performance as an actor. Her wider practice explores artist-moving image, film poetry, and she's co-founder of Theatre with Legs, an experimental theatre company. And her poems have appeared in various magazines and anthologies, and her poem Falling Short recently won Silver Prize in the Creative Futures Writing Award. She's a member of South Bank Centre's New Poets Collective, and she has a debut pamphlet forthcoming with Bad Betty Press. So please enjoy Jess Moraine.
Hi. Hello everyone, my name is Jess Moraine. I'm so sorry I couldn't be with you all today, but I will be reading my poem, Evolution of a Brother Gone Quiet. Driving into accidents. He is the boy who fell from a building site. Down he died to the sound of a saxophone, settling scores he couldn't play. As it turned out, the boy survived, is now living as jazz, my little brother. Won't ask after his desires, held up against our father, bleeding lyricless, wringing his beard for seawater, my brother the baby, desperate to scream on a beach. He is withdrawing on a family, losing the will to hold my prolonged hand. I'm watching him watch a Monday. We are returning from our trip. The weight of my quiet bundle in arms. He is a teenager beside the written word, feeding afternoons inside his head, rests a library spitting bars, a sanctuary found the man.
Well, it's lovely to hear all those three poems together. There's a wonderful narrative quality, I think, that you could hear in each of those poems, and that slightly longer, spacious style. So that's fabulous. And also, just to mention that our 2020 prize winner was Kim Moore, and she's performing in our Painting the Poets, as part of our Painting the Poets exhibition in September. So if you would like to hear Kim Moore read here at Ledbury at the Poetry House on the 6th of September, you can get a ticket for that now. But now it's a great pleasure for me to hand over to Joelle Taylor, who was the judge for the 2022 competition. Anybody who saw her perform Canto and other poems last night was completely blown away. She rightly won the T.S. Eliot Prize for that collection. And she's here with us today to introduce her poet.
Hi, everyone. Don't you just love this? I'm so going to get one. Thank you so much, Ledbury Poetry Festival, for asking me to judge the 2022 poetry competition. It's always an unusual honour to be trusted with other people's works. And like Chloe said, it's a very distinct poetry competition because it doesn't have any sifting. All of the works come through to whoever the judge is. And of course, judging a poem is like judging the length of a piece of string. You have no real idea until it hits you in the chest whether this is the poem or not. So I spent something like 3 weeks. I was in Thailand on an island to set the scene. I was there in my tweed bikini. and I had about 1,400 poems for company, and great company they were, from a diverse range of subjects covered, different techniques used. Well, it's a very kind of restless competition. There is so much variety and energy within the whole of the submissions. But having read all 1,400 and my maybe box getting bigger and bigger, I was finally slapped around the face by the three winners who you're going to hear today. And we're going to go first with third prize, then second prize, and finally with first prize. So what I'll do is I'll read a little bit about why I chose the poem, and then I'll read the biography, and then the poet will come up and read for something like 10 minutes, maybe a bit shorter. So in third place was Toby Campion. And Toby's work that I chose was called Guzzle for the Screaming. I believe that Toby entered at least three poems into this prize. Obviously, it's all anonymous. I had no idea who made the entries. But on reading it on a beach in Thailand, I wrote, I chose this poem for its deep heart, its echoing grief, and its call to community. Its content reflects the increasing authoritarianism of our times, particularly with regard to LGBT rights globally, which it explores through the logic of its semi-surreal world. The use of the guzzle form to express this is pertinent, a demand for a response to the call. The guzzle becomes a kind of prayer in the mouth, a quiet ask. There are poems submitted by, I think, the same author, yeah, that might be better written from a technical standpoint, but this one got into my bones. It's a grief and an alienation that I understand, beautifully drawn together under the multi-meanings of screaming. And Toby Campion is an award-winning poet, playwright and performer, winner of the 2019 Aurora Poetry Prize. His debut short collection of poems, Through Your Blood, was highly commended in the Ford Poetry Prizes 2018. And recent poems have been published in the Rialto, Bath Mag, 100 Queer Poems and the London Magazine. A former UK Poetry Slam champion and World Poetry Slam finalist, Toby is the director of Unislam and founder of the National Youth Poetry Showcase. Please show your regard for Toby Campion.
Hiya, hello. Thank you, Joelle, and thank you, Ledbury Poetry Festival, for having me. It's so lovely to be here. It's a real honour to be reading today, so thank you. I'm going to set a timer to make sure I don't go over. Okay, great. So I'm going to read two poems, and then, depending on how much time there is, I might read a one or two other short poems. The first two poems that I'm going to read use Polari, which is a secret language variety that was used by gay men and queer people in Britain before the 1960s. And this first poem is written, the first part is in Polari, and then the second part is translated into standard English in reverse in the second half. It's called Oyster. And I shut my sheesh screech. He said, cut that cackle fag. My tongue was Dina's. He did a knob. He said, order, and I ordered. Said, Vagari, and I Vagari'd. Charpering to be needed, adobied in ice, bouvard. When it breaks, Avocci, it's Ben to say it's Bona. With Vera after every llama, he dobies out his oyster. You, Vada him, who charpered to not palaver you, you've been palavered. In your letty, the Omi, at the same time wants to tip your brandy and leave no pots in your cupboard. The man in your bed wants to lick your chest and knock your teeth out. You're being spoken by someone who wishes he didn't need to speak you. You watch him wash his mouth out after every word with gin. This is normal. This is fine. A face becomes something drinkable when it breaks. I have bathed in ice for weeks, waiting to be necessary. He said, go, and I went. He said, come, and I came. He rattled his tin. My tongue was coins. He said, shut your mouth, faggot. And I shut my faggot mouth. Thank you. So this is the poem that was in the competition, and like Joelle said, it's a guzzle, and so the last word in each couplet is repeated throughout the poem, and the word is screaming, which in Polari means camp or flamboyant when describing a gay man. And I would really love it if we could do a bit of audience participation. So if you could help me at the end of each line to say all together the word screaming, that would be great. I'll give this inviting hand gesture so you know when it's time. Okay. Let's try it now. Okay.
Screaming.
Great. Okay, thank you. This is guzzle for the screaming. A minister concerned with volume imposed the evening voice curfew. I won't hear a citizen of mine.
Screaming.
Leaflets came through our doors, a noise amnesty, orders to hand in our vocal folds. Soon it was made a crime.
Screaming.
Some of us jumped quietly from bridges. Others were tied up on the city's rooftops, thrown back to the sky.
Screaming.
Restraint jacket, electrode, methylxephalene, muzzle. For so long, they mistook it for madness. My
screaming.
His face changed when we got to his room. He locked the door, cut the lights. Let's find out how much you really like.
Screaming.
I couldn't tell you how old I was when I first loosened my belt around the idea that I would die.
Screaming.
An address on a napkin, a nod from a stranger, that barroom of angels. Together, we spent the whole night.
Screaming.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to read a couple of short poems. I think I've been writing with Polari and then also thinking about ways in which gay men and queer people still have kind of secret languages that we use together. So I've been kind of writing a series of very loose sonnets. They have 14 lines, basically. And that are kind of translations of gay slang terms that are used now on kind of dating apps. So I'm going to read maybe two or three very short ones. The first one's a bit longer. Okay. Number one is called Looking. I wear tight trousers to work events, expect the least, usher stray cats up telecom poles and phone for help, flail in the deep end at the Lido, yes, pretending to faint near fire stations, distributing images of my torso, sure, tensed and edited. I have gotten into strangers' cars, removed my coat when asked, shaved my chest down to a hot ruby hum. Aunties, you found your good men in supermarkets, post office queues, company picnics, other marriages. You made it look so easy, sitting there at Christmas in your matching jumpers. Tell me how you got them. Brussels sprouts wilting in the middle to exhale that way when you leave a room. You lied to me. Two. Bear. As in grr. Bear. Listen, pet. No matter how often you wax your back, smile, wave, keep off their lawn, your neighbour is teaching their children when they see you coming to stand tall and scream or play dead. Three. Fun. We don't have to be sad or dead in every poem, babe. How about free pick and mix at bus stops? Essex Hemp Hill tangoing with Mary Oliver in a subway car, a pina colada option on all taps. Yes, the blue, but also salted butter. House parties in August, every tune, a perfectly vacuumed carpet, ice cubes shuffling round a red cup, the tiny capsules that keep us living, corn on the cob, water balloons. Squeeze my bum. Let's have a dance. Thank you.
Toby Campion. I didn't expect to cry, really, at the Ledbury Poetry Competition, but that's the power of poetry, isn't it? I'm very much looking forward to see your next collection, Toby. It's going to be... it better win the T.S. Eliot Prize, eh? So, on to the second place. It's always really gratifying as well when you judge a competition because it's anonymous. You have no idea who the people are who are entering until much, much further on. And this next poet is somebody I'd already made a winner of the Creative Futures Award. So basically, I just stalk him in every competition. Oluwa Sean Olaiwala. Let me see what I said about the poem. The poem is called Simulcrum. I can't speak today. Simulcrum. The use of language within this poem is arresting. It's brash, confident, surprising, and lived. There is a violence that stalks the poem, a sense of both defiance and threat. I'm particularly drawn to muscular poetry, poetry of dirty teeth that leave the reader panting and unsure of what just walked past them. And this is certainly one of them. Sir Mulcram thinks about what we accept in place of love, what desire means, and who is allowed to own that desire. And to read the biography, Oluwaseun Olaiyiwola is a poet, critic and choreographer living in London. His poems have been published in The Guardian, The Poetry Review, Oxford Poetry, 14 Poems and elsewhere. In 2023, he placed second in Ledbury Poetry Competition. Again? Oh, yeah, it's this. Sorry, I was just like, oh, again. He became a Ledbury poetry critic in 2021, and since then, his criticism has been published in The Guardian, Telegraph, TLS, The Poetry School, and Magma. Oluwaseun was an inaugural member of the South Bank Poetry Collective. He also has an MFA in choreography from Trinity Laban Conservatoire of Music and Dance, where he has a Fulbright scholar. His debut collection is forthcoming from Granta in the UK and Soft Skull Press in the US. Please welcome Oluwaseun Olaiyiwola. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Please excuse my dressed downness for this, but I was thinking about, I was like, it feels like this is my third time in Ledbury in the last, it feels like a home, so I feel like I can be in front of you in, you know, my more comfortable clothes. Thank you, Joelle, for that introduction, and thank you, the whole festival, for putting on the competition, who was instrumental in getting this poem published in The Guardian. It was the poem of the first one I'm going to read was the poem of the week in the third week of March. It's called Simulacrum, and then I'll just, after that, I'll just read two other poems. Simulacrum. There wasn't love, but there was what love becomes. Sheet wrinkle. Skin dune. Arm ropes lassoing our neck flesh with push and pull. Equal amounts. The hurt convincing its shape is false. The relation, the recorded moment, he likes to record, to remember. Not true. Then the film buffering, the unfinished triangle your body sculpts on top of his. Frustration, yes. Rejection, oh yes. The colon's ring hammering. Waking up, not again, not tonight, tight, loose, bloodless, for now, dragging a palm across the brick wall, now, blood, for now, streaming from you, like scripture. Spit of him landing atop your eyelid, a puddle of need. And there is freedom. There is intention to break your back in half and call it what you asked for, what our separateness will not allow, rattle of wooden slats, indentations in the linen, this body you are finally inside of being molded into the cushion's canvas by what desire has given him permittance to do tonight, tonight only. He is not a perfect fit, and that is perfect. He will not stay the night. He will not stay. Hard. Night. Leaking. Night. No fine point. Needled stars. The sky is a masculinity. He starts the car. Likes to be called daddy. Needs to be called something. Anything. There is your obligation. You're obliging. Call it gratitude. Be grateful. Give thanks. Give thanks. And I'm just going to read two more. I'm going to read a similar length one. This is about the NHS. I was actually at the NHS dentist yesterday, and the dentist is kind of culled into this image of, you know, this NHS doctor who appears towards the end of the... It's the NHS is a weird concept for an American American. It's not a, well, the thing is, it shouldn't be a weird concept for an American, but it's one of the things that I find is so instrumental in keeping me here in this country that I have healthcare just by virtue of being here, which for 22 years of my life, I was like, didn't assume that was something that I would just have. And so this poem is kind of entering that with some thought, I suppose. It's called Routine. You should recognize me. The questionless vista, a morbid geography of borders declining, collapse, instant shock. In their decline, I am drying sweat. Call me unfamiliar blister, white blood cell party of rise and scar, expired ointment to treat. I am a feared life, an unencumbered promise, twisting its gold nail down the spine like a law. A skylight at the doctor's office radiates through an octagonal roof. What inquiry do we die for? The ears of the mouth are where? Think of sickness as a smaller life trying to escape and take you prisoner with it as a courtesy. A friend is investigative. Asks earnestly in her dog voice, what is it about England? Its thousand-year bell ring, its bronze cast, its ear punch. I say, as if answers have ever contained correctitude, healthcare. I mean Alpha and Omega, the eternal promise pact of religion, the situation an unexamined lump in the psyche. Are you malignant, born badly? I'm an injury you woke up with, you saw coming. My country a worn ligament, hope a money I can't afford. Pray nimbly, as if we're given nine lives. A child with an accent I wish I could mute opens his mouth and his mother cares. Pills she's shaking in her expensive manicure. Little things, can they not be made perfect? The doctor, merchant of minutes. How many bushels will keep me in this dimension? Division, the fast form of subtraction. How quick we find our relation to disappearance. She's good at her job of elongating. I hustle the improvised monologue of my ailments in her walled direction. She is the listening kind, hears flags in my voice. I can't say I'm scared of dying. Will this rash go away? Must be good enough. Must pierce the bare palm of her brain. She clicks a button on my existence. Lay on your side so I can glove the problem, she says. If you get your hands in a thing, don't let go. This is not the chorus of creation, keeping today as one long tomorrow. Catch the flying song. What if anxiety were a melody? Oh no, a rip in the sail. Thank you. And I'm just going to read this last one. I don't know exactly what it's about, but it's one of those poems that just came out quite quickly, quite felt whole. The title, which you can't see, is in all capital letters. I don't know if that will stay that way, but that is how it is. So it seems as if it's yelling at me. The title is, There Are No Houses in the Future. I feel like it was written around the time when inflation was becoming in the media cycle, because that word kind of feels like it's in the diction here. There are no houses in the future. You wake up and the laughing is behind you as history refusing to stay remembered. Selfishness. That's what I touch you with. To know for once, value inflates beyond possession of a thing. These are the tiny disasters undergoing their last crystallizations no one can alarm about. To say I want you. To say I want to be mended. The man I was has since rescinded such asks. We are not fools. We do not get to be free. What we get is to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Olewe Sean Olewola in second place. Now we're on to the first prize. And the winner of the first prize is Nisha Gale for her poem, How Not to Say Invisible Things. And I wrote about it on the beach in Thailand. This poem ran into me. It's a breathless piece of writing, hard worked, bursting with surprising imagery. The way it negotiates language and pushes meaning. It's a big country at war with itself. Its sudden declarations become legends. If you love something, fuck it into myth. Or, this house is burning me down. Using fragments from Kaveh Akbar's How to Say Impossible Things, the poet addresses the self with an uncertain flamboyance that makes this poem a compelling joyride, an unsolvable mystery, and my first place choice for the Ledbury Prize 2022. And to give you a biography, if I can find it, there we go. Nisha Gale is a poet from West Yorkshire who writes about mental illness and addiction. Her work's been commended in the Poets and Players Poetry Competition 2023, as well as longlisted in the Disabled Poets Prize 23 and the Fish Poetry Prize 22, amongst others. A section of her extended sequence, 6th of August, was recently published in Lighthouse Journal, and other poems are forthcoming in Tears in the Fence. Her debut pamphlet, After the Flood Comes the Apologies, which is available to buy at the back there, was published by Nine Pens in 2021 and was described in BuzzMag as gritty and gorgeous. Fully agree. Nisha is currently studying an MA in Creative Writing Poetry at the University of East Anglia and is also working on a new pamphlet and her first full-length collection and has an astonishing future ahead of her. Please welcome the first prize winner, Nisha Gale.
Thank you very much. I'm ridiculously excited to be here, as you can probably gather. And I've also got a hell of a lot of bits of paper with me, so I'll just quietly organise those. But yeah, I'm going to start with the poem that won, and I'm blushing from all the lovely compliments about it. So yeah, this is called How Not to Say the Impossible Thing. When I say myself, I mean the girl in my poems, her cold spoon tongue, her hands, her blood, her flowers. I mean chips of porcelain, gristle, gold girls slipped under skin like a needle, yawning green light. When I say myself, I mean mirror. The word is like grieving a dead poet I will never meet, but keep finding in diaries an ego and honesty, consumption by shadow. I mean, obviousness is a mean girl at the bus stop. If you love something, fuck it into myth. If you hate something, don't, or kiss it till you drown. I mean, I am so sick of fighting my quick heart. I am so sick of loving the aftermath. I am so sick of wishing my life poetry. The girl's piss burned beautifully. I hit my head on the wall. I mean, quietness frightens me. I mean, my breath is a loud ghost, and this house is burning me down. Pity ruins things, fire, Fitbits, broken homes. If you can say it, say it. If there's a warm hand, take it. Shame is a lonely brother at the funeral. I was hanging up pharmacy receipts and straightening my fingers, pegged to the mattress, grass up my nose. If you can forgive it, do it quickly. All my loves need geocaching. My dad and I searched for hours by the airport. Got a Tamagotchi and a single nickel earring. When I say myself, I mean vodka, morphine, soap. Every broken girl is a stopwatch. Every time I broke, my mum put the clocks back. And now we're in 1994. Each year I make the same resolution and break it holding my breath. If you can wash it off, start scrubbing. The whole department praised my wonderful recovery. I split open at the post room, shook till community safety turned up. The blood test results glimmered at the GP, all lactate and lemonade. When I say myself, I mean wound. If there's a fire, rebuild. Thank you very much. I sort of, when I was deciding what to read, I tried to think of it like a wedding. So winning, old and new. So I'm going to go with the new next. It was in my bio that there's this extended sequence I've been working on called 6th of August, and it's set over the course of a day in accident and emergency. So there's six parts to it, but I'm not going to read all of those because we'd be here all day. But I've chosen a little bit from the middle section, which was recently published in Lighthouse. 6th of August. It starts like this. Receptionist scrawls in blue ink important things, like number of pills and time since climax and reason for overdose. Scribbles, 16. Six of skin strippers and 10 calm cushion cleavers. Scribbles, 90 minutes. Scribbles, reason unknown. Facts here are important. The July birthday, the draping of shirts, the sufficient cleanliness of her hair, the puckered lips of her dizzy liver. Cold nausea of ibuprofen, swirling in nail files and fists. Lungs crippled by codeine, crushed to entrails and ribbons, lipstick pink. The paper cups of water she drank before triage, 3, and the untouched bricks of chocolate behind glass and slots and claws. Her mother off stage, panting in the car, radio numb, stacking butter mints into medicated drifts. Girl is humiliated out of habit and decency, head bowed in apologetic compliance. Once the initial intimacies are complete, and the lazy cuff unclenches and the half-open door is swung to, and once her mother agrees not to ask what or where or why the drugs, they sit wedged between tragedies of strangers, a man seizing like electricity, a woman in crisis, in hospital every night of the week, another teen girl and her fear-softened mother and her stomach glittering with 40 paracetamol and the still-singing wish to die. Girl watches other girl leave later, lurching, unaccompanied, into the slurred and infinite unsafe of the night. Watches omelettes being made on the cookery channel, the yellow scrambling, short hiss of heat, the jellied innards, crispy edges, names called in no order, blood tests and electrocardiograms, people dying and living despite it all. There is some discussion of pyjamas, of not getting home until midnight. There is some discussion of dinner, that quiet hunger, that hopefulness. Hospital like a loss of virginity. These poor, fleshy things. I've just got one more, which is the old-ish, and it's from the pamphlet, After the Flood Comes the Apologies, which was published by Nine Pens, who are great. And I said I didn't say they were great, but I said I'd mention them, and they are great. So, this is the final poem in the book. I thought it would be all right to end on. So I'll do that. Forewarning, it's got a ridiculously boastful title, so please just forgive me for that. And no, I didn't mean it. It's called A Lesson in Poetry. All my poems start something like this. Praise be to pills and soft opium tentacles. Holy ghost of childhood promise be damned. Sing me eerie autumn lullabies about women with skyscraper irises, pocketfuls of pink sand. Turn down the volume and let peace play like radio interference. Usually, at this point, I talk about my mother, two-bit part, more resilient than iron boots, and I paint you a delirious fuchsia sunrise, fuzzy as floss. Something about spoons, metal music, the feeling of nausea before it bursts. Venetian high tide, laughing men in deep rubber wellies, bliss that unpeels like an onion, and some more. A little more. I would really like to write about something else. Thank you.